everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Mr. Michael Haynes, Tom Callahan here with you, and we are ready to get into it once again here, talk some hockey with you. Follow Mike on Twitter, at BusterTheDog33. I am at Callahan on air. And the other great thing to know is that in my Twitter bio is the link to our Talking Puck Discord, where we welcome fans of all teams. Love talking about hockey, as Mike and I also do Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, YouTube, LinkedIn, even broadcasting on Twitter and Facebook Live. So if you're missing us, that's your fault.
that's right.
We are wallpapering the show everywhere we possibly can. All right, Mike, we want to talk about the wild card. Two completely different pictures. The East, we've been saying this for a while, the eight teams in the East are the eight teams. Just looking at the gap between the Capitals, who, as of this taping, are the eighth spot, the last wild card, it's a 10-point gap to Columbus. Doesn't appear to be closing, and it hasn't over the last couple of weeks. So that's set. But the West is really, really curious because we have a couple teams, not only in those wild card spots, which right now is Nashville and Dallas, Edmonton, Anaheim, Vancouver on the outside looking in. I'll loop Winnipeg into that. They're kind of could go either way, but really Vancouver, Anaheim, Edmonton. But then you also have a Los Angeles Kings team that is now past Vegas, is second in the Pacific. There is a lot of interesting things happening. The Wild are struggling. So this could be one of the more exciting wildcard races we've seen in recent memory.
Let's start with the Minnesota situation. They are 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost three in a row. And I'm not saying panic happening in Minnesota, but reading plenty of articles and hearing stories that, you know, it's those time for a team meeting. Remember those, Tom?
We gotta have a team meeting.
Let's close the meeting. Let's close the door. We gotta meet. They don't know what they're trying to figure out what's wrong. So they're in third place in the Central. They're only a point ahead of Nashville, a team that there's an opportunity for Nashville, but Tom, they've gone 4-5-1. They're not even 500 in their last 10 games. So they're not taking advantage of it. Who is Dallas and Edmonton? Because Dallas has a second wild card spot, and they play in that Central Division. They have won six. They've only lost three in their last 10. And Edmonton has lost only four in their last 10. So they have taken advantage in terms of trying to get after it in the wild card. But I do want to talk about one team, and I just have a soft spot for Bruce Boudreau. I just think he's a good coach, and they've won six out of their last 10, and they've got 58 points, which means, that last spot is 61 with Dallas. They're only 3 points out of that final playoff spot. Now, Dallas does have 3 games in hand, but I'm just throwing Vancouver's name out there. I don't think they're dead yet.
Well, I don't think you can write off any of those teams. Anaheim is struggling. They've really kind of gone into a bit of a free fall here. They were in second for a while in the Pacific. But LA is up there now. So it's Calgary, LA, Vegas. We know that Vegas is going to be stronger in the playoffs. So, whether they make it in as a wild card or not, I don't think necessarily matters. But Vegas right now, 62 points. Because of the way their division's set up, Edmonton at 61. Here's the interesting thing, Mike. They would actually fall out if Edmonton caught them. With the coaching change, they've kind of caught fire a little bit. They're getting that boost. But to your point about Vancouver, and here's something that I think is an advantage for Vancouver. They have a goalie, a young goalie they really like, that they can get behind, and they have a well-distributed, I think, offensive mechanic. Now, there's talk about whether or not they're going to trade JT Miller or trade Brock Besser. I do not want to see them trade JT Miller. Besser is the guy I would trade if you're going to move one of the two, and I think you have to if you're Vancouver, but I don't move Miller because why would you move a guy who is a leader, can put up points, also is a pretty well-rounded player, not afraid of the defensive responsibilities, and a guy who really, is liked and is a guy that other players listen to. So I don't think you can make that deal. But if you keep a guy like that in the clubhouse and then you add to that, I think that makes Vancouver stronger. And I do think Vancouver's going to buy. But I think all those teams are going to buy. I think Edmonton's going to be looking for a goalie. Anaheim is going to be looking for something. I honestly don't 100% know what Anaheim needs right now. Nashville's going to probably be looking to add a little bit of depth help, probably on defense. Dallas is kind of the curious one to me.
You know,
I'm looking at Dallas going, who are the stars? And what are they really bringing to the table here? We know that Anton Khudobin is on his way out if anyone will take him. You know, the, Jake Ottinger, the young kid, is kind of become the goaltender of record. They do have Sagan and Ben when they're healthy. And that's the other thing. We do know that Klingberg is saying, I want out of Dallas. You know, they won't give me a long-term deal. I disrespect it. I know we keep going back to that. It's just mind-blowing. But, right. You know, it's a Miro Heiskanen blue line now. It's not John Klingberg. So Dallas can expect to make at least one or two moves here at the deadline. It's just, what are they going to add? And can they stay competitive?
Yeah. Here's what it comes down to, I think. If you are right currently in the wild card spot, if you're Nashville or Dallas, and then I think you look at the next two spots, three, Edmonton, Anaheim, Vancouver. So Nashville and Dallas, those teams are in the Central. You have Edmonton, Anaheim, Vancouver, and those teams are in the Pacific. Tom, what you don't want to do is play the first place team in the first round. Right?
You want
to avoid the first place team, and you want to give yourself a chance, a better chance to win, and then hopefully that somebody else can upset or knock off that number one team, and if you get to that second round. But I think that those teams that I just mentioned, Nashville and Dallas, they are going for third place. Minnesota's falling. And it's within grasp of getting to third and avoiding having to play the first place team in the first round. Same thing in the Pacific. Vegas has 62 points, Edmonton 61, Anaheim 59, Vancouver 58, all within grasp of getting past Vegas into third place and not having to play a first place team in the first round. To me, that's the goal, right? Isn't it? You want to make the playoffs, obviously, but you are close enough. You're not so far separated, Tom, that you can't go, hey, let's finish third. That's a better playoff scenario for us, don't you think?
Really? Second is not out of the question. The Kings are on a hot streak right now. They won 7 out of 10. They're playing really well, and now all of a sudden they are firmly in the buyer category. I don't think. Okay,
I'll I think never... I don't think St. Louis is catchable in second place right now. They've played 52 games. They've won 7 of the last 10. They've won 4 in a row. That's a good team. They're plus 47. I don't think they're going to give up that second place spot.
I think St. Louis, Colorado, Calgary are kind of who they are and where they are.
Yes, yes, yes. But I think getting in, I just think that's so important for a team to get to third and avoid that tough first round matchup.
And Minnesota is logistically only 4 points away from falling out of a playoff spot. But as you mentioned, with games in hand, Minnesota has played the fewest of any of this group, 50. Mm-hmm. They've played 50 games so far, where other teams vary 53. Dallas is 52. Anaheim and Vancouver play 55. So, again, that'll play into the math here down the stretch. But, man, I look at this, and Vegas is going to get Robin Leonard back here relatively soon, so that's good for them because they need him. They're struggling as of late, too. And you know, they're not going to have Mark Stone down the stretch. Could Vegas maybe not coalesce with Jack Eichel and be a team? Wouldn't it be shocking to you, Mike, if Vegas didn't make the playoffs this year, yet they're really only a point away from not being in the playoffs right now?
What's mystifying to me is why they don't have a better home record. They're only 14-12-3 at home. They've got a much better record on the road, which I don't understand. For years, teams like Arizona, Tampa Bay, Florida would have really good home records because teams would come in there. They bring the golf clubs.
Right.
They bring the sunscreen, and maybe take the day off, you know, not take, and especially when Florida and Tampa Bay and Arizona weren't great teams. You think, well, we'll just roll in here, we'll spend the day at the beach, and then we'll show up and win. And a lot of times you didn't. And I remember one team going there that I was with. I would say 50% of the players had severe sunburn they spent the day playing volleyball outside and I don't know, got crushed 6-1 or something. They couldn't put their uniforms on or their pads on. They were hurting so bad. Anyway, what my point is this. Why does Vegas not have a better home record? You would think. I know teams were saying, "Hey, we're going in. No one's allowed to the casinos. No one can leave your hotel room. All that stuff." But let's face it, players are going to go and have a little bit of fun. So why are they not have and stay up? And you know, in Vegas, you stay up longer than you think you're going to stay up with no clocks and oxygen and all that stuff. So why is Vegas not better at home?
You know, that's a great question, because the Fortress, as they call it, is really been one an intimidating place. They've had great home fans. They have a great home show. They put a lot of pride into that. It's weird that they have fallen off at home this year, because mm-hmm. that is a team of all the home court advantages or home ice advantages in the league. You look at the places where it's really can be impossible to go in and play. I think Vegas kind of earned itself that badge in the first mm-hmm. couple of years of the franchise. So the fact that it has the mystique worn off, is the bloom off the rose here in Vegas with this team a little bit?
Maybe. I mean, that not only I think number one is just you're hoping, if you're Vegas, that teams are coming in and players are staying up all night and right. goofing around, but also great fans, great atmosphere. You know, they just made it a tough place to go in and play. But boy, that's not been the case this year. It's not, at least record wise, is not becoming. Look, you know, you look at the other teams. You know, you look at the home records of Calgary. You know, in that division, they've only lost 4 regulation games on home ice. This is how you get to the top of your division and how you get a solid spot in the playoffs. You've got to take advantage of those home games. And I don't know. I know you follow Vegas a lot closer than I do. I was just curious as to why that's not the case this year. And to me, that's one of the reasons that Vegas is a little precarious in terms of their playoff spot. They're just not that good at home this year.
And they haven't had any dominant stretches, really. They've had a lot of injuries. They've been dealing with a lot of things. You know, they made the Eichel trade and essentially put themselves a man or two down for yet another stretch waiting for Eichel to come back, because Alex Tuck was an everyday player. Krebs wasn't, but Tuck was. And he was an important player to them. So he's out, and then Stone gets hurt. Pacioretty gets hurt. Eichel's out. You know, you're just kind of rotating through the end. Leonard gets hurt. They have a team of guys that just haven't even played together consistently. I think that's what their hope is for the playoffs, is to get everybody healthy and back together. But
you better get that going before the playoffs. You do not want to wait until the playoffs start and hope that happens. And just another thought. I was looking at the standings, and I think. The reason I pointed out Edmonton, Anaheim, Vancouver currently are not in the playoffs, but I think within striking distance, and you can make a case for any of those three making the playoffs this year. I think part of that is the fact that the Pacific Division is the weakest division in hockey. If you're Winnipeg, you're sitting at 55 points, and you're playing in a much tougher division. I don't think Winnipeg, unless they make some incredible trade and Connor Hellebuck just catches fire, Tom, Winnipeg's not going to make the playoffs this year.
No.
That town is not going to be happy. No. Not going to be a happy hockey town.
Mike, I remember, and you probably remember, when Winnipeg first came back into the NHL and they tried to tell the fans, it's going to be a 4 or 5 year plan. That didn't even go over well.
No, because people could correct me if I'm wrong on this. Sometimes my memory goes, but I believe that you had to buy at least for certain season tickets, Tom. I think you had to buy 3 years worth or commit to 3 years.
I believe that's right. I believe okay. that is correct. So, yeah.
Which was the promise of, look, hang in there for 3 years with us. Then your ticket's really going to be valuable. You're going to be happy that you got the season ticket that you can renew.
Right.
That's when the unhappiness started, was after fans committed to 3 years of season tickets thinking, okay, we believe that it's a new regime, new management. We've been promised that that this is all going to work out. And there were teasing of that. You kept going, boy, this team should be doing better than they are. And that's, I think, when the unhappiness started. And there has not been, it's just kind of leveled out since then. There's not been a sense of this team's got any possibility of winning the Stanley Cup. And they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, this is a tough year for them. And now they even lose the badge of smallest building in the NHL. They won't even have that next year.
That's right. That's right. No excuse now.
That's right.
There's Arizona coming in. Is that even a building? It's more like a hut. Aren't they playing like a kind of a little hut down there in Arizona?
Yeah, it's
like a more of a warming hut, like kind of one of those outdoor hut. You know, when you go ice fishing, isn't it more kind of like that?
Right. Yes. Okay. Exactly. Okay. That's what the locker rooms are going to look like. Every guy gets his own little hut. Man, that's a tough place for Winnipeg to be. And, you know, as you mentioned, a shovel day off and a little bit of hot water there. I got to imagine his seat's getting pretty warm because your coach
It's a different scenario. You look at San Jose, they're not making the playoffs, but you know what? You have a good core of hockey fans there, but then, all right, whatever. They didn't make it. Maybe we'll get season tickets next year. Maybe we won't. But Winnipeg, that's what they got.
Yeah.
It's hockey 24 hours a day. You know, every day of the year, it's on the front page. They made a line change. It's on the front page of the paper, talk shows. It's hockey, hockey, hockey. There are bigger ramifications in Winnipeg for not making the playoffs than there are in San Jose.
Oh, very true. Very true. Absolutely. And same thing with Anaheim. I mean, it's not as big a deal as it is in Edmonton and Vancouver. So really, I mean, that's where it's front page news. But the Canucks have the built-in excuse of we just retooled everything this year. So they have patience. Edmonton does not. Their fan base is just as testy as Winnipeg's right now, and they should be.
Right, right, right. If I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you think if you look at the wild card picture now, and I'm not going to ask you who do you think is going to make it, but I will ask you, Tom, Nashville and Dallas are the two wild card spots right now in the West. Will those two be in the playoffs when it's all said and done, and B, will they be in the wild card spot, or will there be other teams there?
So Nashville, yes, will make the playoffs. I think they are going to be third. I think Minnesota will take their place in the wild card. I do not think Dallas will make it. I love how you're like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I will.
That's right. Yeah. Put your reputation on the line here, Tom.
That's right. So I think Nashville will end up in third. Minnesota ends up in the wild card. Dallas is going to fall out. And my pick for wild card team, let's see, drum roll, please, as I look over everybody. You know what? I'm going to say Edmonton pulls it together just enough to squeak in.
All right. All right. So, well, you know what? We don't know. What the big X factor here is, what's going to happen at the trade deadline?
Right.
That could change it all, right?
Well, Edmonton better change something. I'll say that. I'm kind of banking with that pick. I'm banking on them doing something. But like we said the other day on the show, you know, Ken Holland says Stuart Skinner's probably going to be the answer. They're probably going to go three-goalie rotation. If I'm an Oilers fan, I'm throwing things at my radio. Because that is not the answer, but I guess we'll see. Because who wants, I'm sure people would want Skinner because he's the young prospect and he's the up-and-comer, but who wants Mike Smith and that contract that now goes to next year? You're stuck with him. And you're all, technically, you'd be stuck with a three-goalie rotation up through next year as well. There's no, somebody's got to go in Edmonton. That's just bad signings is what it is.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's a team that has scored 176 goals this year, but they've given up 171.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a problem. So, boy. Okay. It's a little early for us. I mean, we're just kind of goofing a little bit. It's a little early until we get the trade deadline, but I just thought it was interesting for us to spend a little time looking at the standings. And I know folks who that listen are big hockey fans, but maybe you're not looking at the standings with a microscope every day, but just want to get you up to date on what's happening. And really, I thought you said it great, Tom, that it's so exciting that it's this close.
Sure.
Whereas in the East, it's ho-hum. I mean, the teams are set. But over in the West, I mean, every day you're going to want to look at those standings and see where your team's at.
Well, and that's just it, Mike, is if you're a fan of a team in the East, Tampa, Toronto, Pittsburgh, and maybe you do want to watch a late game, we just gave you 10 teams to watch out for, and really five that are going to be the ones, the movers and shakers that really matter. So, you know, maybe we add a little something to somebody's hockey knowledge. Maybe they do watch a little West Coast hockey. I've always liked the Western Conference, especially, you know, the last 10, 15 years. There's a lot of entertaining hockey that I think can be missed if you're on the East Coast. So don't overlook it.
Nope, absolutely. It should be a fun ride.
Absolutely, it is. It's always a fun ride with you, Mike. I always enjoy it. It's always fun.
It's like a luge every Sunday night, isn't it?
Screaming down the track, yes. So, all right. Well, I'm not even going to make a joke about two-man luge with Mike and I, because that's just awful.
No, that's not proper.
All right, no. All right, that's a good place to wrap this one up. The wheels are coming off, so it's time for us to go.
Hurry, Tom.
Yes, all right. So please follow Mike on Twitter @BusterTheDog33. I'm @Callahan on air. And the Discord link is in my Twitter bio. Please follow us there. And we will talk to you next time on the Talking Puck Podcast. And of course, every Sunday night live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Twitch, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook Live. Talk to you next time, everybody.